You're listening to a sermon from Pastor Kevin Wellborn of Highland Baptist Church in Clovis, New Mexico. Now, here's Pastor Kevin.
Book of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. Today we're going to talk about Messiah just for a few minutes. And we're going to talk about what that is from the Old Testament. Now, you and I know many names for God. I didn't count, and I'm sure I could have looked it up, how many names there are for God in the Bible. Now, there are a lot of names, not just for God the Father, but even for God the Son. We call Jesus the Son of God, the Son of Man. There's several things that we call Him. Of course, many times people just call Him Christ. Of course, that's obviously appropriate. We call Him the Messiah. Now, Messiah is a Jewish term that if you translate it into Greek, it is Christ. So those two terms are actually interchangeable. Okay? So when we call Jesus the Messiah, we're calling Him a Hebrew term, an Old Testament term. And we call Him Christ, that's simply the New Testament term. Now, how many of you, and be honest, maybe not you, but how many of you maybe have taught a kid's Sunday school class or had kids of your own, grandkids of your own, think that Christ was Jesus' last name? Anybody ever had that? Okay, I've run into that some. And to be honest, maybe when I was young, I thought the same thing. But it's a title. It's saying Jesus the Messiah. That's exactly what it's saying. In the New Testament, 134 times we see Jesus Christ. But 86 times, He's called Christ Jesus. It's alternated. It means anointed one. Now, not all of you, but many of you give me a hard time because a year and a half ago, I stumbled with my words and I said something about the Greek language was very deeper than the English language, all right? That's the only thing some of y'all remember that I've ever said, okay? And I don't know how to feel about that, but when we read the Old Testament and we see the term Messiah, it does mean anointed one, but it comes from a verb that obviously means to anoint, but it is not just a simple thing. It really goes to oil, okay? And I apologize for my East Texas accent. Oil is one of those words that's hard for us to say. But how you pour completely, you permeate something when you anoint it. So when somebody is considered the Messiah, of course we know Jesus is the Messiah. He is all the Messiah. He is the Messiah. That I love the English language and the word "the" there, the definite article. That means that there is no other besides Him. He is the Messiah, to anoint, to one to be anointed. In the Old Testament, there were three offices into which men could be anointed: prophet, priest, and king. So in some ways, when those men were anointed in those offices, the same term was used, that they were anointed. But there's always that picture in the Old Testament that there is going to come one who fulfills all of those things. Okay, so let's read John chapter 1, verse 41. Just one verse in John 1 today, and then we'll bounce around just a little bit. But John 1, verse 41, says, "He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which means Christ." And we'll go ahead and read 42. "He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas,' which means Peter." So they find the Messiah. These men, these Jewish men, already have an idea of who the Messiah is and what offices he shall fulfill. Now, if Jesus had any last name at all that we would call him Jesus Bar-Joseph, okay, from his father's name, his earthly father's name. But let's go back to the Old Testament. Prophet, priest, and king. Now, you can certainly turn with me or just follow along, but let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40, way back there at the beginning, we're going to read an example from the Old Testament of each one of these offices. Exodus chapter 40, verse 12. Exodus 40, verse 12 says this: "Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting, and shall wash them with water, and put on Aaron the holy garments, and you shall anoint him and consecrate him, that he may serve me as priest. You shall bring his sons also and put coats on them, and anoint them, as you anointed their father, that they may serve me as priest, and their anointing shall admit them to a perpetual priesthood throughout their generations." So here we see the initial anointing of Aaron and his sons as the priest of Israel. This means that you guys have been anointed, you have been set apart, you have been called to fulfill this office. And they did so publicly by the anointing. Let's go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 9, that was for priests. 1 Samuel chapter 9, if I was intelligent, I would have marked these. So y'all might beat me in the Bible drill today. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 15. That was priests with Aaron and his sons. Here are kings. "Now the day before Saul came, the Lord had revealed to Samuel, 'Tomorrow, about this time, I will send to you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be prince over my people Israel, and he shall save my people from the hand of the Philistines, for I have seen my people, because their cry has come to me.' When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord told him, 'Here is the man of whom I spoke to you. He it is who shall restrain my people.'" So we see priests with Aaron, then we see kings with Saul. Of course, there's a lot of interesting background with Saul being the first king of Israel. But then lastly, let's go see some prophets. 1 Kings chapter 19. Let's see, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19. First Kings chapter 19, we'll read verse 16. "And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place." So here we see Elisha anointed as prophet. We have priests, kings, and prophets anointed in the Old Testament. Now there were a handful of men that fulfilled two-thirds of these offices, but not one was all three. But Moses in Deuteronomy, Moses, sometimes we don't necessarily see him as a prophet, but Deuteronomy chapter 18 or 19, I think it is, Moses says, "There will be one who will be a prophet like me." And then there are other places in the Old Testament that point to one man fulfilling all three of these offices: prophet, priest, and king. Now, who on earth could that be? Obviously, it's the Lord Jesus. I mean, I hope that didn't shock anybody this morning, but as the Lord Jesus is all three. You know, today, amen, there is still contention over who is the Messiah. There are people across the world that are still looking for the Messiah to come. You remember in the time when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, remember the upheaval the world was in. The Roman Empire was strong, and the Jews were looking for a deliverer. They were looking for a military leader to push back the Romans. And what did God send? How did God send the Messiah? Is that little baby that we read about last night in Luke chapter 2 and that John read from this morning as well. They were looking for that military leader. Now, is Jesus capable of being a military leader? Sure. Does Jesus have a whole host of an army at his disposal? Absolutely. But this morning, we're going to see Jesus as Messiah. We're going to read a few more verses how Jesus is anointed as the Messiah. He's the anointed one as prophet, priest, and then lastly, king. Let's go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. I have to prove these things with the Bible. That's a lot better than me getting up here and stumbling over the words. Luke chapter 24, and we'll begin reading in verse 18. "Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, 'Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' And they said to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, and mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Now this is a story on the road to Emmaus when Jesus appeared to the men on the road. And Jesus was asking them questions, and Cleopas says, are you the only one that's not aware of the crucifixion? Without at this point realizing that this is Jesus. But then this man calls Jesus a prophet. Now, I need to backtrack a little bit. When was Jesus anointed? We see in the Old Testament these men and these offices were anointed in public, in front of other people. My contention is this, and I've read other men that I respect and agree with on almost everything, and they say Jesus' anointing took place at his baptism when the Holy Spirit came upon him in front of others. That's where he was anointed, okay? He is a prophet. Obviously, we think of prophecy and we think of somebody that knows the future, okay, or can tell the future. Does Jesus know the future? All right, amen. Jesus certainly is a prophet. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. After all those books of Paul, the book of Hebrews, which many people think Paul wrote also. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. We saw Jesus as a prophet already. Here is Jesus as priest. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Let's keep reading. Who is faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus had been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. The writer of Hebrews, probably Paul, says here, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. What is a high priest? The high priest, we know, is the man that would go in on the Day of Atonement and offer sacrifices for the sins of the entire nation of Israel. A priest is also a go-between. If you members of the Catholic Church even today, they have priests. What do they use the priest for? The priest is a go-between. That's why they have confessional and all of those things. They go and they tell the error of their ways and their sins to this man. And his role in their theology is he kind of bridges the gap between man and God. Now, Jesus does that for us. Remember, Paul in Timothy, I believe it's early in chapter 1 Timothy 2 or late in chapter 1, I don't remember. But Paul basically says, isn't it great that we have a priest, that we know Jesus, who knows what it's like to be God, because Jesus is God, but at the same time, he also knows what it's like to be man, and he can intercede for us. He can be that go-between for us. So Jesus is certainly a priest. This is, I don't know if you can have favorites, but this is my favorite. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 1. We see Jesus as prophet. We see Jesus as priest. And now we'll see Jesus as king. Luke, chapter 1. Luke, chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. There's King Jesus. I love all the names of the Lord that we have, and King of Kings and Lord of Lords are probably my favorite, but to think about Jesus as King. Over what? over everything. He has dominion over everything. The book of Revelation tells us, Romans says he has dominion over death. Revelation says he holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He is in control of it all. That's our King. A few weeks ago, I know I shared this once before at the church, but a few weeks ago we were listening to Christmas music, and I don't remember which song it was, but Hannah was in the back seat, and Hannah said, but Jesus didn't stay a baby. Now, isn't that good news? He didn't, 3 years old, already understands more theology than some people. Jesus did not stay a baby. Jesus is prophet, priest, and king, and guess what else? He's coming back.
Amen.
Hopefully, prayerfully, sooner than later. All right, amen. I think every believer across the world will say that Jesus is coming back. Today, we say happy birthday to the Lord Jesus, and we're grateful for his sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. Just imagine all of history, all of human history, if Jesus had never been. How different would things be today if Jesus had never been? He is, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you're a believer or not, it is hard for somebody to fight against the statement that Jesus is the most important person who's ever lived.
Amen.
By him, we count time. Why is it 2016? We count time by Jesus. It's hard to fight against the fact that he's the most important person who ever lived. Our New Testament, there are 5,000 plus manuscripts in the original languages of the entire New Testament that we can trace back to the first century. This is real stuff that we read here. Caesar's Gallic Wars, which was written about the same time, and every scholar in the world will say is true, and we have manuscripts. You know how many manuscripts of Caesar's Gallic Wars we have? 12. When there's 5,000 plus of the New Testament. Jesus was a real person. Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
Jesus gave his life for you and I so that I have peace today. Peace on earth and goodwill towards men. True peace will only be realized through Jesus Christ.
Yes,
and that's it. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. God, Philippians tells us to have the peace that passes all understanding. We first have to be thankful and grateful. God, today I have so much to be grateful for. God, you have been way better to me than I deserve. God, if I were to live a normal lifespan and the rest of my days were to be bad days, you've still been better to me than I deserve. Lord, today we're thankful for Jesus Christ, prophet, priest, and king. God, we're thankful that you know everything. You know the future. You know the past. You created all of these things. God, also, you know what it's like to be me, even though you lived on this earth without sin. You know what it's like to suffer temptation. God, I want to thank you that I have a priest that knows and understands those things. God, and also, though I'm a citizen of the United States, which you have blessed enormously in the last 240 years, God, I really am a citizen of two countries. God, and you're the King. Lord, we ask today that everything we do will bring you honor and glory, God, to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. Lord, I pray that today, and I'm so grateful for my church family and friends that are here today to come to church on Christmas Day. Wouldn't it be easy to stay at home? God, because we want to honor you today. Today's your birthday. Today is about you and no one else. God, thank you for Jesus. His death on the cross, the blood that he shed that covers all of my sins, and then the resurrection so that somebody like me has hope for life after death.
We'd love for you to join us at Highland Baptist Church in Clovis, New Mexico, Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Thank you for listening.
For more audio sermons, visit us on the web at highlandclovis.com.